Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the first part of the Gospel reading for the day, Matthew 5, verses 13 through 18. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In Jesus' name, He who has made us new people, His own people, fellow redeemed. Be yourself, all the rest are taken. Seems like not only slightly humorous, but seems like good advice as well. Our problem as Christians is that we have two selves. Not that easy to be yourself when you have an old self and a new self. Our old self is the sinful self, that which we inherited, going all the way back to Adam. The new self is the one created by God the Holy Spirit when we were brought to faith, when we were brought to trust in Jesus and His sacrifice, which gives us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. In Christ, you are a new creation. When I was a small boy, my mother would sometimes tell me before, as a family, we went somewhere, remember who you are. I think sometimes I thought she was talking about being the pastor's kid. But after more thought, I think she was talking about who I was as one of Jesus' people. We've still got the old you, who's so easily influenced by peer pressure, by Satan, by all kinds of temptation. Pulled and pushed this way and that. And then there is the new you, the real you. That's why we say new. A gift of God. You've been adopted by God Himself, brought into His own family. This is what Jesus lived and died for. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that you might receive adoption as sons, brought into God's own family, heirs of eternal life. The new you, then, created by the Spirit through the gift of faith, is, as Jesus tells His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed and blessed to be different. In fact, Jesus says, rejoice in that difference, even when it means suffering and persecution. You are created different in Christ. Now, Jesus describes the blessed difference in those statements often called Beatitudes. We looked at them in some detail last Sunday. Jesus says our attitudes and our actions are different from the world around us, and blessedly so. God is making this difference in our lives so that we are different. People who are poor in spirit, yes, who realize they have nothing to bargain with when they come to God and instead depend solely on what He has done in His Son. Poor in spirit, but Jesus rules in our hearts. Ours is the kingdom of heaven. And how about the next one? Happy you are. Blessedly happy when you're sad. Yes, when you recognize that those bad things in the world aren't just bad choices, aren't just something that happens. But this is the working of Satan. This is sin in action. Why is it good to be sad about that? Well, you're paying attention. You can see what's going on in the world. See it for what it really is. And you will be comforted. Jesus also wept over the city of Jerusalem because, by and large, it rejected him. And this is the Savior who puts his arm around his people when they weep for the mess that human beings have made of God's creation and themselves. Or how about, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Not pushing yourself, but trusting in God, being kind, rather than demanding your rights. This is a blessed thing. For this whole creation and everything else belongs to our Lord. And finally, to us as well, in the new heavens and the new earth. So in Christ, we're not only called to be different, but created that way through faith. In Christ, made to be different and to make a difference. That's the first thing that we notice that Jesus is driving at when he gives us that strange name. At least, I wouldn't have thought of it, would you? To call us the salt of the earth? Oh, I know the expression is still used in many ways, but here's where it started. Called to make a difference in the world in which we live, like salt is. Always makes a difference, one way or another. And he also says that we are created to be lights, his people, reflecting the light of him who is the light of the world. You, he says, of us, you are the light of the world because of me. Because I've called you to trust in me. And when you live as one of my disciples, people notice that you're following me. Sometimes they even ask, what's going on? My light shines through you, Jesus is saying. You are the light of the world, then. It's a reflected light. Certainly, these are two things to rejoice in. Further illustrations by Jesus of what it means to be his own. This isn't something that we campaign for. This isn't something that we busily try to change ourselves to be in line for. This is the way he makes us to be when he calls us to faith in himself. Salt must be salt. Light must shine. The disciple cannot help but follow his master. And the Christian follows Christ in attitude and in actions. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? How will it be made tasty again? Instead, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. Nowadays, we use salt primarily for seasoning, although at this time of the year, it seems to be primarily meant for parking lots, intersections, and sidewalks. In the time of Christ, salt was primarily used as a preservative. Before refrigeration, salt was used to keep meat from spoiling. Peter, James, and John were very familiar with this. They were commercial fishermen. The fish they netted from the waters of the Sea of Galilee ended up in huge jars, layered in salt to keep them from decaying. The world in which we live is corrupt in so many ways, rotten, decaying. The spoilage is chronicled every day. Newspapers and television tell the sad story. Truth is called intolerance. Wrong is defended, no, promoted and championed. Perversion and filth and moral decay are accepted by all too many as simply a choice, one of many in life. You decide. One would think that after separating us from the control of this sinful world, our Lord would direct us to live then in colonies, communes or cloisters to avoid all association with the unbelieving and the corrupt. But instead, he says, you are the salt of the earth. I make you a force to check the moral corruption of this world. But salt, it's got to be in contact with what it preserves. It can't just be in the general area. As Christians, then we are not to withdraw from this world and the problems which afflict us because of sin. The world is afflicted as well, as we can see. As Christians, we are to live out our faith right in the middle of unbelief. We are to practice Christ's mercy and love and forgiveness right where there is so little mercy and love and forgiveness, where lies and misconceptions rule. We are to boldly speak the truth in love. By living our faith in word and deed, we Christians are God's preservative in a rotting world, counteracting the decay and corruption that is all too prevalent. We do this by holding fast to the truth of God's word. We do this by prayers of intercession. We do this by the example of godly, Christ-like living. This is not a matter of using the law to tell people off. This is using the law to show them why they need to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. By our witness, then, some will be drawn out of the corrupt mass and will in turn become salt as well. Jesus says so. In fact, he says that that's why the world is still around, and you are too. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached, and all the world is a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The Christian life may be mocked, and Christians may be ridiculed, even hated by many. After all, in this ungodly world, the lives of devout Christians are an open rebuke to the worldly. But the fact is, it's the influence of believers that keeps this world from becoming so rotten that God would have to throw it out, just as we do with rotten food. Now, the world would prefer us as honey, not salt. So we are tempted not to speak when people reject and ignore God. But Jesus says, if salt loses its taste, if it loses its saltiness, how are you going to season it? It's good for nothing then to be thrown out and be in the roadway like so much gravel, trampled under feet. Salt lose its saltiness? Is that even possible? Then it wouldn't be salt, would it? Oh. That's Jesus' point. That's what happens when Christians tone down their witness to make it more compatible and acceptable to the world. If we hedge on what the Bible names sins, if we back off the fact that Jesus is the only Savior, even worse, if we fail to apply the word to our own hearts, and lose what it imparts, we're not going to be a salt. We're not going to be among his people. We should take great care then that we not be careless in our use of word and sacrament, that we not fail to meditate on his word daily, because we should be aware that it's possible for us too, just like anyone else, to be so concerned about the day-to-day things in life that we lose sight of who we are and where we're going. And finally, Christ becomes of little importance and little value. You see, it's finally possible to treat God's goodness and grace as something either irrelevant or something just to be ashamed of. And so, people set it aside altogether in this unbelieving world. What then? Well, Jesus says, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing than to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Are you listening? Am I listening? What does Jesus call good for nothing? Not gross unbelievers, not murderers and rapists, not liars and cheats and adulterers. He says the really worthless are Christians who are salt with salt. How can we withstand then? How can we maintain? Let us daily look to Christ. Let us use word and sacrament faithfully. Let us make His Word our daily companion. Let us recognize that in the Beatitudes, it isn't all about us. It's all about Him. And when He talks about salt and light, He's talking about us. But if we're to be salt and light, we've got to stick with Him. Walk with Him. Follow His Word. Focus on what He has done for us and what He has promised us. If we do that, nothing will be more real, more relevant, or more valuable. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Sinners in pursuit of wealth, comfort, power, and pleasure make for a corrupt society. That's one way to describe this sinful world. Rotten. Darkness is another description the Scriptures use. Darkness of ignorance, falsehood, blindness, spiritual death. The Apostle says all kinds of unrighteous deception beset those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And again, they have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And so the whole world lies in darkness, under dominion of the Prince of Darkness. Except, it was for this purpose that the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And that's why Jesus said of Himself, I am the light of the world. And now He says to you, you are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of life. His forgiveness dispels the darkness of sin, slavery, and death eternal. Christians, with this light in their heart then, cannot help but show it forth in their lives. And the gospel radiates not just from our lips, but also from the way we live. Lights reflecting the light of the world, Jesus Himself. When God created the sun, when He created the universe, the creation of light was a two-step process. On the first day, He created light in and of itself. But on the fourth day, He created the light bearers, the sun, the moon, the stars. These lamps the Lord lit and placed in the heavens. In dispelling the darkness of sin and death in this world, God also followed two steps. First, He sent His Son into the world. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. His redeeming love dispels the darkness of death and sin. Step two, the Son of God, the very light, in turn sends His disciples and says, you are the light of the world. Through His disciples, Jesus shines out into this world. We're not the source of the light that radiates from us. Christ is. We are light bearers. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It isn't the good that believers
do that should be hidden from sight. It's that they are doing it. We should fall into the background, and the glory should be God's, because not only wouldn't we be acting as Christ's disciples if God had not called us to, we wouldn't have the opportunity or the ability or anything else to do good except through Him. It's all to the glory of God. The pressure of this world, temptations of Satan, would have us, first of all, hide our light, and secondly, take credit for any good that we do, as though we had made ourselves and brought ourselves to Jesus. And the world? The world is happy with either. It loves the darkness. It wants us to act contrary, even though it couldn't spell it out. But if a Christian ceases to bring light to others, the lamp under the basket, then we deny our very purpose for living, for being here in this world. And finally, worst of all, we'll lose the light that we have. And we too will be darkness. So taking the gospel to others is not an optional extra for us as Christians. Individually or collectively as a Christian congregation, then, we need to take stock. Take a good, hard look around to see whether our light only shines in here and not from us as we go forth. Notice the church somewhere once. It had a large parking lot and it had signs at the entrance and at the exit. And on the other side, as you would drive out, it said, "You are entering the mission field." Good point. Light shines from Christ's people wherever they are, and especially when they are in the darkness of this world. This is absolutely vital in a world where nearly everything is made to be a crisis, that we recognize that taking the gospel to others is actually a life and death matter. And look carefully at our text. Jesus did not say, "You are some of the salt." Nor did he say, "You are a light." He said literally, and with this emphasis, "You yourselves are the salt. You yourselves are the light of the whole world." God has assigned this task to his Christians. There is no one else to take up this work, to be a salt and a light. If we prove to be good for nothing, no one else will. No one else can. No one else has been called to be the salt and the light that this world so desperately needs. Sometimes we think, salt of the earth? I'm just one person in one place. Light of the world? Is it possible? Can I have any kind of influence even approaching that? Well, you can, only because Christ is your light. He makes us and he keeps us light and salt. Only he knows how far your light will shine, how many different people it will touch, how many will come to know him and trust in him and live with him forever because they spoke with you. And you worked or went to school in their presence. And when they asked questions, you answered them. Talked about the sure hope you have of eternal life. The mercy and grace with which we reach out to others, we need to apply then, first of all, to our hearts. Cling desperately to your Savior. In him, all our countless sins find forgiveness. Our imperfections and shortcomings are made up with his complete fulfilling of the law in our place.
In him we are righteous before God. In him then is the strength and the dedication to serve and love our neighbor as ourselves, and to live as that which we truly need to be, salt and light. May the love of our Savior, Jesus, fill each of us with such love for our fellow man and such dedication to our Heavenly Father that we are ever, daily, truly, salt and light. Without it, there are people that will never learn to know Jesus. With it, we have joy. And may many others find the peace of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. And may that peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard and keep your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.